It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Unlike driving a car, there's no real learner's permit for a kid's first smartphone. And as a Washington Post technology reporter highlighted recently, children are getting smartphones younger than ever. So parents and caregivers, we have to be prepared. Join in on smartphone literacy, how and when you decided your child or your teen was ready for their first phone. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Megan Moreno is a professor in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. She is the lead of the Social Media and Adolescent Health Research Team. Dr. Moreno, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, before we look at the potential dangers, let's start with the upsides. What benefits do you see in giving a child a smartphone?
Well, one of the ways that we think about the benefits of getting a child a smartphone, we learned from a research study when we talked with tweens who were adolescents ages 10 to 14 about their perceptions of the risks and benefits. And some of the benefits that we heard from those tweens were that having a smartphone can give you a sense of responsibility and give you a sense of wanting to live up to being able to have that kind of device.
Right, because, you know, phones and a plan, it is expensive. And so perhaps they could learn some responsibility with that new phone and try to make sure that they don't leave it somewhere or drop it.
Right, exactly. Or, yeah, have it go wherever all the lost mittens go every winter.
What about gaining social interaction with their peers? I mean, back in our day, we could merge calls to get more friends on the line, on the landline. We had party chat lines. But my 13-year-old, you know, on her phone, she just shares her moments with her friends on Snapchat. And I wonder what her relationships would be like with them if she didn't have that phone.
It's a little bit tricky, isn't it? Because you can see some of the upsides. And I think certainly the 2 years of the really intense phase of the pandemic, where there was a lot of social isolation, I think we all saw teens being really ahead of the curve with how they use their technology to stay in touch with each other, how they use their technology to learn. I had a patient tell me that she and a couple of her friends would do virtual tours of art museums all around the world. So I think there's a lot that we learned from teens about how to use your technology to stay connected, but there's also that downside of whether they're getting the type of, you know, high quality relationship building interactions that we want them to have during those adolescent years.
So what is most important for parents to keep in mind when deciding if their child is at that time and that they should have that phone? What should we bear in mind?
I wish that there was just one thing, but as you can imagine, for many families, it might be a different thing that they're worried about or that they're looking for. Some of the things that we heard in our research study from teens were, a first thing was whether or not the adolescent wants a phone. And I was really surprised to see this come out in our study, but there were quite a few adolescents that told stories of having a parent upgrade their phone and being handed a phone maybe before they had even asked for it. So I think that's a really interesting aspect of this is, does your teen actually want that phone? Because I think we all know that once you have a phone, you can't unhave a phone, probably for the rest of your life.
Right. And, you know, something that concerns me is sometimes I catch my kids looking at their phone and multitasking. Like, no, you cannot pour your cereal and look at the phone at the same time. And this is not a habit that will lead to anything good. So what about setting limits on focusing on one thing at a time?
I think that's a really great limit. And I think that one of the things that we've heard, particularly from kids who get their phones a little younger, is that those limits and those rules, they have to be really clear and concrete. So maybe for an older kid, you could say, hey, I really want you to be mindful of when you're using your phone and really make sure that you're getting something out of it. I think a 17 or 18-year-old would be ready to have that type of conversation. But a younger kid is going to need a lot more concrete guidance, like you should not be using your phone for entertainment purposes until after 4 o'clock, or just something that's really concrete for them to start building those habits of how they're going to use their phone.
We're talking about how to help children use smartphones wisely. And we have Dr. Megan Moreno, pediatrics professor, leader of the Social Media and Adolescent Health Research Team, studies this at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in with your tips, your experiences, situations you've encountered with your teen or your tween and phone use. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Marino, is there any sense that economics might help? Is it a good idea to require your child to help pay for cell phone bills? And if so, how do you determine the right amount?
That's a really great question. And I think you'll probably hear one of the themes I would share is that no one approach is going to be right for every family. So I think that having your child have some sort of skin in the game if they're getting a phone. And for some families, that might be contributing to paying for it. For other families, it may be something like keeping grades up or helping out with chores. I think families will know what the right approach is for them, but some sort of skin in the game. And I think the trickiest part is making sure that that's really followed up and consistent. I've heard stories from patients that they were asked to keep their grades up, but then their grades slipped. And again, it's really hard to take away a phone once you've given it. So making sure whatever approach you're using is actually realistic for your family.
Another just very much a realistic situation in today's world is that we found we just needed to be able to contact our child in an easier way, when it was time to pick them up after practice, when it, when we were like running late to the normal place where we usually pick them up or after an activity. What are the practical things when that is the actual reason that you really need that phone is just to stay in contact with them?
I think that's such a great point. And I think it's something that we can embrace and be grateful for. I mean, many of us grew up in the era of not knowing when our parents were going to be late, or ourselves being late, or getting lost, or having a sports competition be somewhere different than you thought. And so some of those really practical things, I think it's okay to embrace those and be glad that we have those opportunities. Some of the other ones I've heard of from our research participants and my patients are kids who are dealing with an ongoing or chronic illness, being able to stay in touch with their parent or reach a healthcare provider. That's an incredible benefit of technology. And the other one that I've heard a couple kids talk about is when you know that your parent is going to the grocery store and you realize that it's your day to bring something into class and you can text them and have them pick it up at the store. And for all the parents out there, it saves you that second trip to the store. So I think recognizing that there's some incredible convenience and efficiency aspects to a phone is an okay for us thing for us to do.
Adolescent medicine physician Megan Moreno studies the screen diet, if you will, of kids, the impact of digital technology and media use on their lives. Join in on what you told your kid before giving them a phone. What were those choice words like? How do you keep tabs on their smartphone use and check in on them without being overbearing? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The nonprofit organization Common Sense, it studies the media use of tweens and teens, and they found entertainment screen time is up 17% for this age group since the start of the pandemic. The report this year noted, similar to 2019, about 9 out of 10 families have at least one smartphone in the home. Bring your thoughts on when it's right for a kid to have their own phone, whether it was on a birthday they got it, whether it was a holiday present. 800-642-1234. Dr. Megan Moreno leads the Social Media and Adolescent Health Research Team at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, stays with us. Dr. Moreno, there is concern about kids having so much screen time in this day and age. Is it inevitable that screen time use will spike when a child gets that first phone?
That's a great question. I do think that we often see that, just like when you give a kid a brand new toy, that they might have way more intense use right at the start as they're getting used to it, as they're excited about using it. So I think that's where having a set of rules or guidance and having some conversations early on, right when you get your child's first smartphone, that's a really important time to set your family's rules and values so that your child can have those in hand right from the start when they start using their phone.
Are there resources to find some of those rules and values that we could kind of copy over and use in our own household?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the newer tools that has emerged is called a phone ready questionnaire. And you can Google phone ready questionnaire. It was put together by the American Academy of Pediatrics with support from AT&T. And it includes 10 questions that get at some things to think about before your child gets a phone. So things to think about, like, is your child someone who tends to lose schoolwork or hats or mittens? And if so, how have you made a plan for how they're going to avoid losing that new phone? So it's not meant to tell you whether or not your child should get one, but it's a good conversation starter. And then the second tool is the family media use plan. Again, you can just Google those terms, and that comes up under the American Academy of Pediatrics healthychildren.org website. So that tool has been around since 2016, but it had a major upgrade this summer that included more content, more suggestions for younger kids, as we recognize even younger kids are getting phones and interacting with technology.
When you say younger, like, how young are we talking about?
We are seeing quite a lot of kids around age 8 having phones these days, whereas the median of before the pandemic was thought to be about 10. So we wanted to make sure to provide some guidance around how to interact with kids when they're younger, when they get phones. And some kids aren't getting phones, but they're interacting with things like family tablets.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, I can see that. But I'm just thinking about an 8-year-old with their own phone, a third grader. It's hard to really to fathom. And I think a questionnaire is helpful because there are so many other skills, like keeping your stuff together, that would be very helpful before you get a smartphone. And with the family media use plan, what does it say about when the family is together? Or, you know, there are some families who say, hey, let's put our devices away so we can eat together, or be able to have some, you know, non-screen time, like on Sundays, no screens or something like that. Does it give you some ideas like that?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. One thing that I really like about the family media use plan is it introduces really important concepts, like the concept of having time together with the family that doesn't involve technology. And then it gives you options for some popular or common ideas that families do. So just like you mentioned, family dinner or a family movie night or family game night. So it doesn't tell you exactly what you need to do as a family, but it gives you that important concept and some ideas. And then there's always the option to create your own, what your own rule is going to be.
Sometimes I feel like I'm always nagging at the point where I need them to pivot to do something. And I'm just like, oh, it's always the device that is between me and what I really need them to do. How can parents minimize that nagging or the threat of punishment when it comes to these devices?
Oh, that's such a tricky one. And, you know, one really interesting thing that we're starting to see come up in research is that some of those behaviors for some kids are really learned, and they're learned from watching an older sibling. And in some cases, and I'm not saying it's yours at all, but in some cases, they're learned from their parents. Mm. So, as you know, many parents were working at home the last 2 years, and you might have had your kid come down and say, "Hey, I need you to make me a sandwich." And you would say, "Hold on, hold on, 5 more minutes. I got to finish this call, or I got to finish this meeting." And so there's a lot of kids that that learn those behaviors from watching their parents. And so I think what that means for where we are now is that parents have a higher burden and a higher responsibility of trying to really role model what it means to give clear signposts to your kids about when it's okay to use technology and how to gracefully extricate yourself from technology. Because again, for many kids, this isn't something they had the opportunity to learn during those 2 years.
We're talking about children and their use of smartphones when the time is right. Dr. Megan Moreno, a pediatrics professor, leads the social media and adolescent health research team at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in with your interactions with your kids and smartphones, what you have learned through that journey and their phone. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Moreno, what might be some warning signs that your child is struggling with phone addiction?
I think that having your child seem more isolated, having a harder time getting them to come out of their room, having a hard time getting them to ever put their phone down, them seeming really stressed when they're interacting with their phone, and definitely trouble sleeping. Those are all warning signs that could mean quite a few different things, but it could mean that they're interacting with their phone too much. And I think as a pediatrician, sleep is one of the most critical things that we see in our clinics, as well as we see in the research literature, that can be a real downside to the phone. So that's something I think for parents to really keep an eye on, is how their kids are sleeping. Ideally, they're not using their phone as an alarm and they're sleeping with their phone outside of their room, because most kids, if they're sleeping with their phone in their room, are usually interacting with it.
Let's go to Benjamin now in Appleton. Benjamin, hi. What is your idea?
Hi. My wife and I just had the idea to give our kids smartwatches when the time comes, so that they can make calls and limited text and limited access to certain apps. A little bit of a throttling device, but still being able to be in contact with kids.
Benjamin, thank you for that. Dr. Moreno, what do you think of that as an introduction, a smartwatch?
Oh, I love that idea. I love that idea. Another similar idea that I've heard from some families is to get their kids what they would call a dumb phone. So getting their kids a flip phone or an older version of a phone where they can call and text and be part of those social circles, but not have as many of the bells and whistles and apps. So I've definitely seen that be a really great approach, especially for younger kids who need to stay connected, but might not need a full phone.
We did something like that similar as well, where, the kid can first have that Wi-Fi access in the house and we can practice a little bit of the texting between each other. And then eventually, you know, they go on the plan. But at first it starts just within the household.
Yeah, I think that's it's almost like having training wheels on a bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How should parents monitor what their teen is doing online or with their phone? How much oversight do you think is wise?
That's a really great question. And I think it's one that really depends on the family and depends on, you know, how the parent generally interacts with that kid and monitors them. I think a really big thing that is coming through in the literature is that a lot of this is about communication and setting expectations. And many kids will say if their parent is going to monitor them more closely, look at their phone, have their passwords, many kids are okay with that. They just want to understand that that's what the rules are. And if their parent says they're going to check in weekly, that kid's going to be watching to see if that really happens. So I think the takeaway point is, whatever rules you set, just make sure that the parents are following up and enforcing them.
Because the kids will be watching to ensure that what they charted out with the phone is actually going to transpire. So that's a really great advice there. Dr. Moreno, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Megan Moreno is a pediatrics professor and the leader of the Social Media and Adolescent Health Research Team in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.